Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The universe, the cosmos, in a sunbeam. I learned from Dr. Ken Croswell, writing at Science News and Knowable, two different versions of the mystery of sunbeams and our sun and the makeup of the universe. It's that cosmic. Ken is also the author of The Alchemy of the Heavens and Searching for Meaning in the Milky Way and the Lives of Stars. Ken, this is wonderful because you've given me a lesson in over a period of 2 years of what we know and what we don't know about our sun. The first thing is, I didn't know we didn't know all this. The second thing is, we have to describe events since a publication in 1989 that established that our sun had high metallicity, a publication in 1999 that suggested, no, it doesn't. And now today, in the 21st century, an experiment in a cave in Italy about neutrinos that suggested, yes, indeed, high metallicity. Therein lies the mystery of the universe. First, Ken, what is metallicity? What are we talking about in the sun? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. This has got to be the most underreported controversy in all of astronomy, if not all science. And yet it affects everything, almost everything in the universe, because we use the sun as our abundance standard, our standard for trying to figure out how many atoms of oxygen there are relative to hydrogen. Hydrogen is the most common element in the universe and also in the sun. Now, you ask the question, what is metallicity? What is a metal? Okay, now I'm going to answer that question in a way that I hope there are no chemists listening to your show right now, but we astronomers define a metal as any element that is heavier than hydrogen or helium. Okay, so to us, oxygen is a metal, carbon is a metal, neon is a metal, nitrogen is a metal, and in fact, it's those four metals that are in huge dispute as to how many of them there are in the sun and thus in the whole universe, because again, we use the sun as our abundance standard. Back in the old days, prior to about the year 2000, we thought we knew the answer. We had two different ways to determine what the sun was made of. The more straightforward way was simply to look at the sun's spectrum, to look at the light coming off. Different atoms absorb different wavelengths of light. We can analyze that spectrum, and we get a certain number for the various atoms in the sun relative to hydrogen. The second way is to use helioseismology, which is akin to using seismology here on Earth to deduce the structure of the Earth. Just as the Earth vibrates and shakes and quakes, so does the sun, and we can analyze those vibrations and deduce its internal structure. And 25, 30 years ago, everybody was really happy. There was great harmony. The two different techniques gave you the same answer for the metal abundance of the sun, the oxygen abundance, carbon abundance, and so forth. But then, about 20 years ago, there was a new and improved analysis of the solar spectrum. And the abundances of the four dominant metals in the universe, that's oxygen, carbon, neon, and nitrogen, they plunged hugely. The estimated numbers, typically, you know, 30%, 40%, I mean, huge, huge changes. I mean, these were not small changes. And ever since, there has been a conflict between the spectral analysis, which favors a low metal abundance for the sun, and the helioseismology, which favors the high metal abundance for the sun. And it's gone on for 20 years, and it's been very frustrating for astronomers, because most of us simply want to know what number to use. You know, how many oxygen atoms are there relative to hydrogen? How many carbon atoms are there relative to hydrogen in the universe? And we just don't know this information. So it's been very frustrating because there just hasn't been new information coming available.
All right. Now, if I understand, amateur reading can, so I'm going to go carefully. If I understand the importance, carbon, nitrogen, neon, and oxygen, all important. I understand the CNO cycle. But oxygen is the one that I want to focus on because that's water. And without water, there's no argument with other astronomers because we don't exist. So
right.
if the oxygen estimate of the universe plunges, that means we can't explain the universe. Is that correct, Ken?
Well, no, it simply means that the stars that make oxygen have been much less prolific and much less productive than we had thought. If there's, in fact, 42% less oxygen in the universe than we had once estimated, then that means that those stars which make oxygen, which are mostly the massive stars, that's where most of the oxygen we're breathing comes from, it means those massive stars haven't been nearly as spectacular as we thought they were when it came to making oxygen.
Does that challenge your standard theory of the creation of the cosmos? You astronomers are keen to reassert again and again this as a statement of faith that the standard model works. Does this challenge the standard model?
Not of the overall universe. No. We know that oxygen is very important for the reasons you state. It's in water and we breathe it. Also, every single planet has got plenty of oxygen in it because rock is primarily oxygen plus silicon, plus other various metals like that. And so without oxygen, you don't have any rocks. So you can't make the planets because we think the planets started with rocks, basically then gathering more material. And so you're going to be in real trouble if you don't have any oxygen. But in terms of the overall theory of the universe, no, this doesn't change that. But we really would like to know just how much of these elements there are relative to hydrogen, and we don't now.
Now we come to the exciting point when Martin Asplund of Max Planck Institute established an experiment where he was looking to reinforce the fundamental yardstick, that sunbeam. And he came up with these numbers that are aberrant from the assumption before. You spoke to also an astronomer named Pinsenault. And you tell me that this was not, that this couldn't be settled until now. Is that correct, Ken? It was a question that wasn't being answered. And it worried astronomers who saw that it's important what we get, that number is fixed. Is that right?
Right. And now we are starting to get some new data, and it's looking like, and it's not the final verdict by any means, but it's looking like the high metal traditional value for the sun is actually the correct one, and the new lower values may be incorrect. Now, again, we don't have the final verdict, but that's how the wind is blowing, at least.
All right. Now I come to why it is that there's this aberration. The method that Martin Asplund used for his 1999 publication, and it's been cited thousands of times, as you say, was...
Wait, John. One. That was actually published in 2009.
2009, or 2000.
Started work on, yeah, it's a very long process to do this work. So the very much cited paper of his, which is one of the most cited papers in all of astronomy, was published in Annual Reviews of Astronomy and Astrophysics in 2009. And as you say, it has over 4,000 citations. I think it now has over 5,000 citations. That just shows you how essential it is to know these numbers.
And
so
he
reanalyzed the solar spectrum, reestimated the abundances, and got those radically different results for oxygen, carbon, nitrogen, and neon.
And the way he did it was to use the light coming off the surface of the sun. How did he measure it?
Okay, the measurements haven't changed. What has changed is the analysis. So we had long been using the light coming off the sun to model those abundances. What he did, what Martin Asplund did, was to use improved models for the sun to derive abundances of the various elements from the data. Okay, so just to give you one example, there is an oxygen spectral line in the red. Oxygen absorbs a small amount of red light from the sun. These are oxygen atoms sitting on the solar surface. And it was discovered, well, guess what? That spectral line is contaminated with nickel, because there are also nickel atoms in the sun, and they are absorbing some of that red light, too. So that spectral line that we thought was due just to oxygen is actually due to both oxygen and nickel. You subtract off the nickel contribution, and you end up with less oxygen. So even the critics of this new work, the low metallicity work, they agree that the new models ought to be better. They are an improvement over the old ones. And yet they get an answer that is deviant from what we had thought and also from the results from helioseismology. This is the way that you probe the interior of the sun.
There's a wonderful quote, "Oxygen is a troubled child." What does that mean, Ken?
Yes, it's despite its abundance, it doesn't produce a lot of spectral lines in the sun. And every single one of those spectral lines has problems. It's very hard to analyze. It's very hard to get an abundance out of those spectral lines in the sun. So that's why there's just been so much difficulty with this matter. I mean, part of the reason is simply oxygen is a fairly simple atom. It's only atomic number 8. Now, in contrast, iron is less abundant, but it's very easy to analyze. It's atomic number 26. And so, you know, we know the iron abundance of the sun quite well, and thus of the universe. We don't know the oxygen abundance of the sun or of the universe.
So I want to establish, before we come to what appears to be a way of resolving this conflict, the older method said there is so much CNO cycle in the universe, and that was quite comfortable because it matched up with our observation of our sun, which is the laboratory for the rest of the star making. And the work by Martin Asplund challenged that assumption, and there was no resolution until perhaps now. Is all that correct, Doctor?
Yes. And we're getting hopefully closer to a verdict, but we still don't have the final verdict.
All right. We're headed to, I believe, a cave in Italy. Is that right, Ken? It's a cave in Italy where the experiments take place?
All I know is we're headed deep underground in Italy, yes, to a huge neutrino.
And this is exciting because, of course, there's cuisine, good cuisine on the surface and revelations under the surface. Dr. Ken Croswell of The Lives of Stars and the Alchemy of the Heavens, writing in Science and Knowable about the mystery of the sun that I did not know about until now. And when we come back, a possible solution to the discrepancy. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.